Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week, we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Gospel according to John, beginning with the 6th chapter at the 1st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus went to the other side of Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up the mountain and he sat down there with his disciples and said, "Now the Passover or the festival of the Jews was near, and when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?' And he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 'Well, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little.' But one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, came and said to him, 'You know, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?' And Jesus said, 'Well, have the people sit down.' And now there was a great deal of grass in that place, and so they all sat down. There were about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told the disciples, 'Well, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost.' And they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say to each other, 'This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world.' And when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And so when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got in the boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. And the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they'd rowed about 3-4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near their boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' And then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you certainly know that the Gospels are full of miracle stories. But there's really only one miracle story that's told in all 4 of the Gospels. And 2 of those Gospels actually tell it twice, which means the miracle has real significance for the Christian community. The miracle is the feeding of the 5,000. It's also interesting to compare this story as it's told in each of the other Gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when faced with the perplexing problem of feeding so many people and not having enough food to do so, the disciples are the one to ask Jesus the question, "What are we going to do?" But in John's telling the story, there's a real twist to the response, because Jesus asks Philip, "What will we do?" Jesus has been continually moving through Galilee, doing the work of his ministry, teaching, speaking words of hope, and healing people. The crowd begins to follow him around because of the miraculous healings they have seen. And here we have in today's story, 5,000 men plus women plus children following him up a mountain, wanting to see more of his astonishing healing power. In John's gospel, Jesus looks at the crowd, and he already knows what he's going to have to do. The people are hungry. And so the question is, so what are we going to do? In John's gospel, Jesus is the one who asks the disciples, and by extension asks the likes of us, you and me, that question, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this problem of hunger? Hunger, as we all know, is a universal experience. And from the very moment we enter this world, we're faced with hunger. Hunger is something we all know and understand. My family's staying with us today. We've got four little kids. One's a baby, and they all woke up hungry. And hunger propels us to that which gives us life. That's which, quite literally, we cannot live without. When Jesus asked Philip this question, well, Philip tries to give a logical, reasonable answer. He looks out and calculates how much money is needed to buy supper for all 5,000 of these people plus. And then he replies and says, half a year's paycheck won't do the trick here. Our budget just isn't big enough to feed everyone. Our resources are too few. Quite honestly, that sounds like the response you'd probably hear in a church. But the amazing thing is God looks at scant resources and situations of nothingness, and then God says this, now there is something I can work with. Jesus understands this. And he knows that conventional, logical answers are not what's needed in this situation that they're facing. So Andrew looks around, the disciple Andrew, and he does this practical survey of the situation to figure out, well, what is available? And finally, he comes to Jesus and he has this to say. He says, well, you know, there is someone here, a kid, he's got 5 barley loaves, and he's got a couple fish. Andrew tells Jesus that's what's available for lunch is what this little boy has. And this boy, he's not a power broker, not someone with social rank or standing, but he's someone who is poor. We know this because he only has barley loaves. And barley loaves are what the poor folk used to make their loaves of bread. Barley grain was the grain for cheap bread. The rich don't use barley. In Andrew's words, we get the sense that real needs are not necessarily filled by the folks to whom we think can always help us. And as John continues to tell this story, it becomes very clear that Jesus himself is the only one who can end real hunger. And by that we mean hunger of every kind, not just that sort of hunger that makes for a growling stomach at our lunch times. John makes this very clear because in his telling of the story, this miracle takes place, very importantly, near Passover. And Jesus, in our story, becomes the host of the meal. Starts ringing some bells for us. Jesus is the one who distributes the food. In the other gospel, it's the disciples who take up the work of distributing the food. But here in John, something else is happening. Jesus himself is the one who's going to feed the 5,000 plus crowd. And in John's telling the story, after Jesus feeds the crowd, he then tells the disciples this. He says, gather up the fragments so that nothing is lost. Well, these are really important words. The Greek word used for lost means perishing. So Jesus' real purpose here is to keep people from getting lost, from perishing, and to provide nourishment that lasts and keeps us alive and truly fills us. So the disciples go out there and they gather up all these fragments. And when they bring it forward, they find they've got 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now you got to remember something here too. In Scripture, the number 12 is important. It has to do with fullness and completion. So as 12 baskets of food are left over, we get the message that in this person, Jesus, there is true abundance and none are going to perish. All will be filled. John's placement of this story very near the time of Passover, where Jesus serves as host, is absolutely intentional. Because it's Jesus himself who will become the real food, the real nourishment for those who follow him. In fact, next week we'll hear the verses that follow today's reading in which Jesus has this to say. He'll say, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never hunger. And what he's saying is this. He's saying that he's the real food. He's the most important food. Don't spend your money on food that spoils. Don't stock the shelves of your life with food that perishes, but instead put Jesus there. Make him your staple, the food that's going to last when you are hungry. Reach out first to bring Christ into your life. So now I'm going to ask each of you a question, and I want you to think about this. What are you hungry for? Think about that for a moment. What are you hungry for? And how hungry are you? What's really driving you? And how are you going to fill that empty void within yourself? And God really cares about your answers to these questions, to these important questions. God cares about your hunger, and God is calling you to the table Jesus sets where you can feast on this bread of life we call Christ our Lord, a food that is certainly strange indeed. We digest Jesus' food and it becomes part of us, part of our makeup, part of our personality. But this bread, this life of Jesus, does something that ordinary bread does not do. You see, when we consume the bread, Jesus becomes part of us. When we consume the bread at this table, the broken body of Jesus makes us a part of himself. We are one. When we consume the bread at the table, when we consume the bread, we become the food for a broken world. We become broken. We become living loaves of bread as we live. We love and serve the world as Jesus has done already. So undoubtedly, today, at some point, you will experience a form of hunger today. Many of us have a gnawing hunger, an emptiness within ourselves. Think about this. What's that emptiness within ourselves that food will not feel? What is it that really drives us? We try sometimes to fill that void, and we go out and we buy stuff. We take off for Best Buy or Costco or Walmart or wherever. And we go there and we just buy stuff to feed what's empty inside of us. We strive to feed ourselves through success, through doing everything possible to see our kids attain success, through a whole variety of addictions that we think will fill that void within us, but end up fooling us because they leave us empty and starving and hungry again. So remember this, God is always looking at that emptiness we're talking about inside ourselves today. And he's saying that that's something he can work with. Jesus, the one who became broken and went to the cross out of love for this world, wants to say to us, what are you going to do? Feed on me. Feed on my life. I'm the real food that really matters. And I'm the one who will truly satisfy that deep hunger in your heart. I am the one who will give you life, a life that is rich and that matters. I am more than enough, and there is abundance as I give you my very life. Come and feast at my banquet. This week, let Christ feed you. Let him fill the emptiness within you. And in doing that, may you too find true life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.